Here we go. Now it's forced. Welcome to Snakes, Rats, and Goats, episode 2.
Yes.
I'm your co-host, Ryan Elder, and with me as always is...
Ryan's co-host, Scott Chernoff.
Yes. And tonight we're going to talk about episode 1 of season 30 of Survivor. Pretty excited. Got a lot to talk about, so let's pretend we're making an ocean sandwich and dive right in, huh?
All right, let's do it.
Okay, Scott, how do you think the collars thing has turned out?
It's interesting so far, I think. You know, I am skeptical, as you know, as anyone who listened to our first podcast knows, and that's at least 4 people. You know, my feeling is that ultimately it's going to be meaningless, as it was with Brains, Brawn, Beauty, and, you know, different races. It'll just melt away in a couple weeks. But, you know, and Jeff is really pushing it hard. I mean, some of the people are like, you know, I mean, they break the rules. Like, I don't know if all those people in a no-collar tribe are breaking the rules.
Yeah, it's annoying to me what he's doing with that. And
he doesn't need to push it. It's Survivor. The show works. And you've got the twist. I like that they're always innovating and thinking. And it is kind of an interesting, like, some of the tribes, you know, seems well divided that way. That was an interesting way to divide them. But, you know, I mean, a barrel roller isn't really a blue collar worker. And a law student is far from a no collar, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
come on, Ryan.
I love most of it, and I do.
Your idea.
I do appreciate how most of them grabbed onto it right away and were just like running with it. Max and Dan come to mind. Dan in particular was so pandery with his blue collar stuff.
Dan is insane. I know. He's picturing the music being played behind him, like patriotic or something, and he's making his speech for the camera. Oh my God. Dan, well, he wants to be remembered. Dan wants to be remembered.
Yes, he's so eager.
I think maybe in that moment he thought he saw an opportunity to be like the next Rupert, you know. I'm a big guy who's rough and tumble, and I love America, and we're the ones who built it. And it's like, dude, no, you're no Rupert, first of all.
Yeah, we'll get into Dan some more, I'm sure, because he definitely has some good moments in this episode and some very bad moments, in my opinion. But
He's out of control.
Yeah,
But in general, how do you feel the collars thing is working? I mean, my general take is it's forced, but it's working pretty well so far.
I think the tribes are going to be interesting. The white collar tribe interests me way more than the other ones. And I don't think it's just because they were featured more in this episode.
Yeah, I wonder, because I felt the same way. But I mean, obviously we were meant to be invested in their story because of what ended up happening.
I also think there's probably 2 like, you know, flyover country versions of you and me that love the blue collar tribe. And, you know, 2 hippie versions of us on Venice Beach listening, making their podcast.
Well, it's not so much that I love the white collar tribe, you know, and I'm rooting for them. I just thought there were somewhat more interesting people on it.
Yeah. Well, they're more strategists, maybe, I believe.
Yeah. And that's what you and I like. The more strategists, the better.
So speaking of the white collar tribe, they are the only ones that took the deceive choice.
They're 2 representatives.
Right. Exactly. I mean, nobody in their right mind should be taking the deceive, right?
It can we agree so on this? Stupid. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can agree. Look, the clue to the idol is very tempting, which, by the way, they never even it ended up adding up to nothing for them. They got no idol. We don't really need to explain this, but it's such a rookie sort of mistake.
Yep.
Easy for me to say, having never played, but you know that you can't deceive when the other tribes are all getting the same thing. You know the odds are that at least one of the other tribes is chosen honest. And if you make it to the merge, everybody's going to know you deceived. So why bother?
Terrible decision. It's clearly it was alpha male dude who has no idea what he's doing, just pushing so around.
Oh, he had no idea. But yeah. She let herself be. I mean, that was her big mistake as well.
Yeah.
Or one of her big mistakes is that did not stick to her guns. She.
Yeah, I think he won her over when he said,
"Let's go, cutie."
I mean,
he won me over.
So gross.
So gross.
God, I was hoping to get through the whole podcast with no puns about her name.
You stepped right into one.
But I walked right into
it. You were talking about
Joaquin. Minute five. I was going to say, do you want to do a little, because I think I can make an argument for taking, I think there is a way to take deceive and possibly work it in your favor.
Okay. Tell me. I have a couple ideas. Let me hear yours.
All right. So my first idea would be to take it and pretend as though it is a bag of beans, it's a big bag of beans, and say, hey, this is for the whole tribe. We're all going to find it together. We're going to hang it up. You know, it's been done in the past to varying levels of success. I believe Coach probably did it the most successfully. And just say, hey, this is for when we merge, you know, so we get the advantage. We're all going to take the immunity necklace. Right.
But so you're saying tell everybody,
show them all the clue. Show them the clue. Yeah.
Show them the
clue. Let's look for it. Okay. It belongs to everyone. Right.
Now, in that case, you are opening yourself up to like people being pissed off that you turned down food.
Absolutely. Look, I'm not saying it's the right decision. I'm just saying this is one way to handle it. That I think
just saying we got to think of every. Got to think of
it's
every.
It's better than saying neutral.
I know everything from my time on the island. It's got to look at every angle.
And then
I'm just going to start, by the way, now portraying myself as somebody who's played the game and see if new listeners pick up on that or not.
Yeah. the other idea I had, and maybe this is one you had too, is you just say that you took honesty and you say, this is all the beans we got.
Hmm.
The other option was no beans at all.
Hmm.
But making up a third choice is terrible. I mean, look,
I don't buy it.
Sierra didn't buy it when they told the truth about being honest. There's nothing.
You're going to come back with an even smaller bag and be like, this is for the whole tribe. Look how great, you know, nobody's going to buy it. My only potential idea, I'm looking at it from So's perspective. Like, how could she have saved herself from this? Because according to her, I've read a couple exit interviews with her. You know, she claims, oh, I was arguing against it. But then she does admit she got caught up in it and went along with him.
Right.
So but if I'm in her shoes and he is insistent on doing deceive and I can't talk him out of it. Right. And he's plying me with compliments like that. And you know I'm a sucker for that. But I'll... You know, if she really tried to talk him out of it, okay, and he doesn't go for it, then my plan B might be, it's kind of ballsy, but keeping in mind that this, I'm fairly certain this deception will not hold up. I already think Joaquin's an idiot, and I don't trust him as being a good ally who can make sound decisions. And I know that at the very least, at a tribal switch, I could get found out. How about go along with it, don't come up with the lie, go back, let him be the spokesman.
Yep.
I would just play along and be like, okay, you seem to know what you're doing. You seem really smart, Joaquin. I'm behind you 100%. We're allies. You go ahead. You tell the tribe, you know, you can come up with a good lie. Yep. I can see that in you. You bump him up. You get back and you let him say his piece. And then as soon as he's gone, you find one or two people, as many as you can, just be like, look, guys, I was in a really weird situation. Here's what happened. And you just tell them. You just say, like, there is a clue. I'll tell you what it says.
Yeah, you just throw him under the bus immediately. Like,
yeah, that's what I should have said. It was a long buildup to throw him under the bus.
That's if you're so. And, you know, Joaquin, to his credit, kind of did that. Once
what did he do?
He let So do all the talking and look like the real jackass.
But was that part of his plan?
I don't know if it was intentional or not, but I got to give him a lot of credit. Like
Well, do you got to give him credit if it wasn't intentional?
Well, I am going to give him credit. I think he, especially at the tribal, he kept his mouth shut in a way that was like exactly what I would have done if I was in this position, if I realized I had made a terrible, terrible mistake by choosing to deceive.
At that point, yeah.
Tribal. And even like on the way back,
tribal,
making her come up with the lie and letting her own it, Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, that's a very good point. I just don't know that it was his plan. I don't get the sense he has any idea what he's doing. But
I agree.
But he may have stumbled into a way to dig himself out of it, and he just has to hope that they don't lose immunity next week.
Yeah, I think they're going to. I just see these guys going the same path as the Brains tribe from Cagayan, and they're just going to lose like three in a row.
Well, every time there's been three tribes, that's happened. One tribe keeps losing.
Yeah, it happened. That's what I'm afraid of. But luckily, I'm okay with Joaquin going. But I don't want to see any of the other four. Like, I absolutely fell in love with Carolyn, and we can talk about that. I think she
wife about that.
She killed it, man. I was like so surprised when she found the idol. I mean, they were. Clearly, you know, you can always tell when someone's about to find the idol.
You weren't surprised a minute, you know, at the moment it happened.
But I was like,
you're surprised at when you discover, when you realize that she was about to find
the idol. Exactly. It's like, oh, she's going to find the idol. Wow, that's insane. Like, it was pretty exciting because I kind of had her pegged as like a non-factor.
Right.
I mean, I think we said she was going to be a goat, which she might end up still being.
Right. Sometimes these early storylines add up to nothing, but there you go.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, no, well, that's one of the reasons I find the preseason handicapping so flawed, because I looked at her and just said, well, she's not long for this game.
Agreed.
And even at the start of the episode, I felt that. But then not only did she find the idol, it's how she found the idol. It's being alert and aware of what's going on.
And connecting immediately with Shireen.
That's what I was going to say. And she did a lot of things to help herself, to stop herself from getting eliminated. And so I say she did great.
Yep. We'll see when we get to that segment, but she may be getting loud. We'll see that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a preview of one of our new segments.
Yes.
I like that. You just slip that teaser in.
Yeah.
Well, I like that, you know, I also liked Max. You know, I know, as I said last week, I wasn't really aware of him before, as a lot of Survivor super fans are, and I enjoyed watching him. I thought he seemed pretty savvy. You've taught the class, and okay, we want to see, some people probably want to see him fall on his face, but I'm more interested, whether he succeeds or not, in watching him apply what he has learned and seeing if it works.
So far,
you know, he was also the one used to say, you know, to step forward now and be a leader would be a mistake. And then immediately Joaquin steps forward.
Yeah, it's so great this season because of so many super fans. We're getting so many great, insightful confessionals.
Yes.
Like, unlike last season and many previous seasons where
last season was rough.
There's usually one person who gets to talk about strategy, right?
Yeah.
And you're kind of lucky to have that one person. This season, we've got so many people. Like, we've got Jen on the no-callers that gets to talk about strategy.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Shireen and Max, you know, and even Tyler a little bit, which we'll talk about tribal here in a bit. But, you know, I think we've got so many savvy players. It's going to be a great season, I think, because of that, at least for people like you and me who love game bots.
But I would argue that like last season, you know, was not good for people like us, but I don't think it was that good for anybody.
Yeah. I mean, there are people who liked it, but
I mean, I liked it after post merge, it really picked up. And once Natalie, you know, really got moving, it got great, but it just, the beginning was really, it's hard because a lot of these people didn't know what they were doing, and it wasn't that fun to watch that. It'd be like watching, it's the difference between watching, you know, I was going to try to make a sports analogy, but I don't know any teams. I mean, I know that, like, you know, who's the best team? So my analogy is, it's like, instead, you'd always want to watch the team of players who are really great at basketball as opposed to people who are just average.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would, you know, it would have been the Lakers in the past, but
there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to see the best players, and I want to see them duke it out. I'm really excited to see, because there's no way Max and Shireen want to go to the final three with each other. No way.
Oh, wow, yeah, I hadn't thought that far ahead yet.
So they're tight right now, and they're tight, going to be tight for a long time, but they're going to want to eat each other. Like, well, they probably both want to take Carolyn. I would. If I was in that threesome. It's too early to talk about this stuff.
It's hard for, I feel like if I were playing, like, I'm sure I would have that stuff at some point, a place in my mind, but I don't know that I'd be thinking that far ahead yet. You know, who's, because you really don't know who you want to be sitting next to until you see how it shakes out.
And yeah, and you don't know who on really, the other tribes you're going to be able to take advantage of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Look, I know I would overthink it for sure if I was playing. I'd have people picked might. Out day one to and take you're to planning the end. To apply. But I would certainly have like an idea of the kind of person I want to take to the end. And for me, a person like Carolyn blowing up at tribal council and making right. enemies on their way out the door, that's the kind of person I definitely want to take to the merge with me and stick with till the very end.
Now, interestingly, can we bring, because you know I hate spoilers, but and yet I do read the exit interviews.
Sure.
Now, I don't know if it's kosher to bring in, to quote Parvati, to bring in some info from that, but like in So's
I don't, exit interviews. Yeah, I don't, that stuff's public knowledge. It doesn't bother me.
She claims, based on her time in the game, that Max had a plan that he wanted to team up with two weaker women so that they would feel indebted to him. So he could carry them to the end and they'd feel indebted to him.
And she knows this and how?
Well, now that's why I almost feel like maybe I'm violating my own rule, because if she didn't, she either found it out those 3 days or she found it out post game somebody who got voted out later or something.
Yep.
So maybe that's not worth even pursuing, but that's just to say that from her perspective, because she, you know, she's obviously the greatest person ever, she believes, the two weak women would be Shireen and Carolyn.
Shireen is not weak, man.
Well, Shireen from So's perspective.
Right. Yeah, from So's perspective, sure. Like, physically, maybe Shireen's weaker than So, for sure, but... like, as a player, not even close. Shireen is way more savvy, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, Shireen would not have let that happen to her with the beans.
No, and she would have lied better. Oh, man. I mean,
so if you think that that's a spoiler, you can cut it out.
To me, it doesn't seem like a spoiler, and I'm willing to let things like that go. I just don't want to talk about
what our huge listener base has to say.
If one of us knows who's going next week, I don't want to talk about that.
Don't tell me anything that actually is going to happen in the game.
Like, for example, I was telling you earlier, I knew that So was the boot from various sources.
I would be so pissed.
I actually knew it when we did our cast assessment, but there was
no way you were going to choose her as your choice for the winner.
I wasn't going to choose her anyways, because I like...
Likely story.
I like Joe and Tyler so much more. Hey, if you want to talk about this right now, we can talk... You almost picked
Talk about
right?
anything. Almost. She was... Yeah. I told you. I also said, like, I cannot predict it until see the first episode. I've predicted many winners based on the first episode. Not every time, but a handful of times. But I can't from preseason. I just can't tell. Like, right. She struck me as somebody who would be savvy, and she did not appear to be on the show. And Carolyn struck me as a wallflower, and she was anything but.
Yeah.
You know. So at least after one episode, you have a feel for the people. Yeah.
So are you still feeling okay about Sierra? I mean, she got a little bit of time.
Not at all.
Not at all.
I was thinking about that because I saw her and I was like, isn't that the one who I predicted would win? The barrel person.
She was at least like suspicious about the big bag of beans being a lie or not, which is
that's true.
And they did show that, which they don't show people being strategic or suspicious unless they do something.
It could be. And, you know, the last prior two seasons before this, they did a really good job of not making the winner obvious in episode one, which I appreciate. I don't enjoy being able to call it on episode one.
I agree. And
it could be anybody at this point who's blood. It could be Sierra, but I don't feel confident in that anymore.
No. I'll tell you this. I definitely don't feel confident about Joe, and it's for opposite reasons than you might think. because he obviously came off incredibly well in this episode, and that's why I don't like him anymore. Oh? He's too likable.
Like, as a winner.
Yeah, he can't win. He can't.
Well, how
make
did
the
JT
final
come off in his first?
Unless
episode.
He has like this messianic quality, like JT did, where everyone wants him to win instead of them. He's not going to win.
Because when we were looking at it preseason, he didn't stand out to me. And you were like, no, he's like JT. And I was like, oh, and then I watched the episode and I said, Ryan was right.
He is like JT, but.
Yeah, so he went up in my book because he went up from nothing to, you know, somebody who was coming off really well to everybody.
I don't know about that.
I just think, he's. Yeah, okay, so he is a JT, but he's not on a season with a bunch of idiots like JT was. He's on a season with a bunch of really savvy fans of the show that will go, oh, this guy's JT with long hair. This guy's JT and Malcolm mixed into one, you know?
Yeah.
Gotta get rid of him. We gotta get rid of him. I don't see him going. I see him making the merge easily, and then he's gone shortly after.
Well, you know, it depends on who else makes the merge.
I'll tell you this, though. I watched a YouTube video on how to make fire the same way he did today.
Really?
There's like a little tricky way to do it, but I don't have any bamboo to practice it with, so I won't be practicing.
Well, you should if you ever go out there. I mean, that was smart of him.
Obviously, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that kind of thing, though, can make you a target, too.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I kind of just want to be like Sandra and not win any challenges and not seem like I'm good at anything.
I would just try my hardest at challenges because I don't think I'd win them anyway.
Fair enough. I definitely, I'm on that. on that same page.
It's harder to fake it. It's easier to just try as hard as you can.
And then you might get the Cochrane edit where it's like, Jeff is like, oh my God, you won another challenge.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you luck out and you win one, but nobody really thinks like, I don't know what happened with Cochrane.
Speaking of challenges, let's talk about this challenge.
All right.
Wait,
are we done with the... Okay. Are we done with the beans?
Oh, yeah. I think we covered it.
Because I wanted to note one thing I noticed, and that's that we saw, like you mentioned, Sierra's reaction that maybe they're lying when they had chosen honest. And we saw the disaster at the white collar.
Yes, yes.
Did not see what happened at the no collar, and does that just mean that nothing
there
happened?
There was no drama.
Everybody can assume everybody believed them.
Here's why, and actually I did want to mention this actually. Oh. Here's why I think that happened. It's because Jen smartly, God, really smart,
had
that little meeting before and was like, okay, let's all decide right now what we're going to do when we go back there.
Right.
And they decided, you know, take food, here's our hierarchy of things. And they just went back and it's like a no brainer. Okay. And so I think they could come back and say, yeah, here's exactly what we had to choose. And we stuck with what we discussed.
But could they, didn't she mention something about like bringing back the notes or something?
Maybe they
did. I was wondering if you could bring back the notes.
I bet you couldn't, because why would they allow that?
Why not? Why not just take it and see? I mean,
good point. I mean, there's no rules, right? They probably could bring back
unless there's a written rule, like in the rule book that says, because I know there's a rule book that says you have to leave what you find there, but you could consider, I mean, I would argue it was like tree mail.
Yeah, maybe they did take it back and they just didn't want to show us that, but I don't know.
I thought they played it very smartly, and by the fact that we didn't see anything, confirm that.
Yep. I think that was just one of many moments in this episode where Jen really shined for me.
Yeah, and she's definitely the narrator for that tribe.
Yeah, before we get into the challenge, we could talk about Jen and by proxy, my main man, Vince.
Wow.
I'm a seer of real.
I love that guy, man. I can't get enough of this guy.
Your favorite coach is your favorite character of all time.
He's my favorite character in quotes. Not cast member. But I just love these like completely non-self-aware like people that think they're just doing so much good for the world.
Now, you're a big Coach fan. I mean, this is obviously an obvious line of discussion, but I'm curious. You happen to be a really big fan of Coach. I think he's a great character, as I said, but he's not, you know, even in the top 10 maybe for me.
Yeah.
But he's your favorite. How do you feel about Vince? How do they compare so far? I know it's too soon to say, but what's your sense of him? What's like Coach and what's not like Coach?
Well, I mean, no self-awareness is what's like Coach for me. And this sort of like idea that he's committed to some cause that's bigger than him, you know, and he makes these reads on people that are like, it's like he thought he had Jen so figured out.
Wow. Although I'll give him this, he had a flash of insight. She was being sort of fake when he said she was acting fake.
He did realize it later, but in the beginning, just based purely on her looks and the fact that he just like had a boner for her, he thought he had her figured out so well, and then of course he was completely wrong. Which I just love people like that are so confident and have such a distinct like self-image that they put forth and that they have of themselves. And Coach is like the ultimate example of someone like that.
Yes, he is. I mean, he's amazing. Yeah. I don't mean to downgrade him. He's amazing television. And Vince was promising.
I hope Vince sticks around a little bit longer.
He's got some potential. Yeah, but can he last in that tribe?
No. They just need to win immunity. I think their tribe seems really good for winning immunity to me.
They're pretty cohesive.
Yeah.
Because they've got, you know, like Will's a little nutty too. But like, you know, they all seem to like each other.
Will's nutty, but he's not like Dan nutty where he's off-putting. Oh, no. You know, he's very inclusive in Will's his nuttiness. The whole sandwich thing was great. Apparently that whole discussion went on like for 3 minutes or something on the beach where he was just defending the fact that he could make a sandwich from the sea.
I'm rooting for it to happen. It could happen.
It's got to happen at some point.
It's got to happen. It's got to pay off.
It would be so great if just like the brick of cocaine in Panama where a sandwich just floats up onto the beach.
Well, I thought you meant the Survivor Panama. I was like,
I did mean that.
But was there an episode with a brick of cocaine?
It didn't make the edit. I think it was Panama.
What?
One season. Yeah, you got to look this up. One season, a brick of cocaine washed ashore onto one of the tribe's beaches.
Well, there have been a few seasons, I guess, in Panama.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly which one it was, but the info's out there. It just didn't make the edit, of course.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I wish it had made the edit.
But I digress.
Well, and Jen, so Vince, amazing, we're agreed in terms of hilarity. And Jen, I thought I loved her because she reminded me, I'm sure I'm not alone, of Courtney Yates in that, you know, she was a great narrator. She's really funny and she's really savvy.
Yeah. I think she's way more game savvy than Courtney Yates was.
Yes. Courtney wasn't as engaged in the game.
She's like Courtney as a fan. Jen. Yeah, Courtney had that sort of apathetic attitude, which Jen doesn't seem to have.
Jen's into it. She's a fan of the show, whereas Courtney, I think, was a recruit. Not that there's anything wrong with that. She was fantastic, but Jen is more into the game aspect than Courtney
I think Jen's a real player. Distinction.
I could see her going far. I hope I'm rooting for. It might just be wishful thinking, but I'm hoping she goes far.
Do not get this all up in my face.
All right, I won't.
That hug was such a great moment.
That was intense.
I was laughing so much at that, like. Vince, I mean, the guy he's going to be the gift who keeps on giving. How could he not be? But we'll see. I hope he sticks around for at least three. And at the very least, I hope he gets like a Drew Christie-esque exit episode.
Right.
Where it's just all about him, you know?
Oh, I'm sure.
But if he turns into a super creep, I probably won't like him as much, but we'll see.
Right, he does have that stalkery potential.
If he goes down that road, it could be bad. But I hope he doesn't.
Should we Should we talk about the blue collar tribe? We've barely discussed
that. Let's talk about their most obvious and important member, Kelly, or the new purple Kelly.
I was about to say, who's Kelly?
Yeah, she had one confessional.
Which one is she again?
She's she was a truck stop waitress who then became a state trooper.
Oh, state trooper.
And I believe she's lesbian. I don't know for sure.
Okay.
But she had one confessional.
Either way, I forgot all about her. Yeah,
she doesn't
And it
exist.
Doesn't help that her name is Kelly. And
I know.
There's like 200 Kellys who have been on Survivor, and half of them are also bland.
Here's the thing. I'm not actually 100% sure that her name is Kelly. That's how little I know.
What?
I got to look through my notes here.
Yeah, you took notes.
I mean, I took notes on the cast assessment. I'm flipping back through my notebook here.
Right.
Only
we had access to the internet.
So blue collar, Rodney, and his...
I'm going to go on the site and see who she is.
He wants to get a couple of girls in a very Russell-esque kind of dumb girls alliance way. But that tattoo play
right,
was like,
I've heard him referred to as Boston Rod.
Yes, Rodney. The tattoo play I really liked, actually.
I agree. I made a note of that because I thought it was actually an interesting insight to say that people with tattoos may be more open to expressing themselves.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think of it that way. I just liked the idea that he could use it as a way to be like, I'm being completely honest with you, and here's ink in my skin as proof. You know what I mean?
Right.
That was smart of him to use it that way as a tool. And, you know, he clearly made a connection with Lindsay. Although, if she's actually into him, well, I'll be really surprised because...
She didn't... she seemed pretty bland in the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
why would you be surprised if she's into him?
Because, I don't know, look at the guy.
No,
he has no sideburns. No,
I mean, he's a decent-looking fellow.
I'm sure to some people he's quite attractive, but
yeah, somebody married me. I mean, there's that proves that anybody can get anybody.
Let's talk about Dan and Mike and their little buddy setup. I think that bodes poorly for Mike.
Because wait, can I just interrupt? Her name is Kelly. Okay, I'm on good. The CBS site.
Good.
Okay, close it because the site is a disaster. Yeah, it's slow. I agree with you. Like that Mike guy seemed really friendly and really I liked him, but I was like, oh, I don't know if he should be closely associated.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't be getting juggling lessons from Dumbledan.
Dan.
Yeah, Dan is a train wreck.
More like Bumble Dan, am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
So watching Dan makes me sort of empathize a little more with people who hated Cochran on South Pacific because he's a super fan who's clearly wasting his opportunity. He knows not to go in and start arguing, but he does it anyways.
Well, see, that was shocking. Now, I don't compare him to Cochran because I think Cochran's problem on South Pacific, was primarily social awkwardness in general and not really being good with people and being nervous, without getting into the whole drawing rocks or not drawing rocks things, which, by the way, Ryan and I got into a very long debate about. Over Facebook message earlier.
We'll do that debate someday.
We'll have to do it because I actually am the only person I know who defends Cochran on the rock draw.
You mean on his flop, but yeah.
What I was going to say is I don't compare Dan to Cochran because Cochran was primarily social awkwardness, whereas Dan, like, how many times he's been watching since episode one and applying, as we learned somewhere along the line, like 1,000 times. He doesn't know not to step up for leadership.
Yep.
He doesn't know not to get emotionally involved in the building of a shelter.
I mean, that's got to be rule number one, man.
That's got to be rule number one. I mean, we know there's always that guy, but How do you watch how many episodes of their 400 episodes of Survivor or something? However many there have been, and you do that? You don't just go in going, okay, I'm just going to roll with the punches here.
Why?
What?
Why is he so emotionally invested in this? He was afraid because he's a big guy and it being high up, it was going to crack and he's going to fall through.
Let it crack.
Yeah, just take the fall, man. That'll engender sympathy.
Not only was he caught up in it, but he's calling them stupid or something. Oh, my God.
The way he was talking to them.
The stupidest thing.
Yeah. The way he was talking.
He was yelling.
Yeah. So disrespectful. Off the charts disrespectful.
It's not 2000. You're, 2000 BB. I'm sorry. I know BB's not with us anymore, but he can be forgiven for barking out orders. He'd never watched this show before. Oh, he didn't know what the hell was going on.
He pulled the chicken too, where he was like giving tons of orders. And then when they told him that they weren't interested, he just clammed up.
Yeah. Then they were like, well, what do you want to do? And he's like, I don't know. Don't come to me for the answers. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way he makes it to the merge if they lose.
Right. What happens if they don't?
It's funny because in my mind, the only tribe that's going to lose before down to two tribes is White Collar. For some reason, I don't see any other tribes losing. But
it's tough. But you never know. It's completely unpredictable. Yeah. If White Collar had chosen the other puzzle, because it was not about anything other than puzzle choice, which we can discuss.
Let's talk about the challenge.
But I just want to. Okay, well, yeah, we'll talk more about Dan later. Enough about Dan.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get back to him. Here's the thing I love about the challenge. The whole theme of the season was worked into the challenge in such a great way. This idea of having three different puzzles be sort of like lining up with each tribe's personality was really interesting to me, and it was like really interesting to see which tribe took what. Mm-hmm. Which puzzle? To me, I mean, I don't know. Well, five pieces, how hard can that be?
Which puzzle was supposed to be with which person?
I think the five-piece one was supposed to go with White Collar because they have more intellect. They're better at puzzle solving, probably. The 50-piece was supposed to go with Blue Collar because they're just about
easy assembling work. Things. Yes.
And then the middle one was supposed to go with No Collar for just... because whatever. Well, that's
the middle one didn't look, I mean, I'm sure looks are deceiving. I've never done these things. It didn't look that hard.
See, that kind of puzzle looks really hard to me.
Really?
The five-piece puzzle looked super easy.
I didn't get a good look. I'm not a good podcaster because I don't remember what the five-piece puzzle looked
like.
I mean,
dude, it's five pieces. Come on. How hard can it be? You know? Like,
well, he made it sound like
it seems like you could brute force it in like 5 minutes.
Proof? What do you mean? Like just
try all possible options. Yeah, like, I mean, I brute force in the computer programming term where you just have the computer try all possible options instead of shrinking.
I'm picturing you like literally pushing them together, the Incredible Hulk, and like they're suddenly they're like
that's
silly
what the Blue Collar tribe did.
they're Play-Doh. They're just reshaping.
So I remember thinking, while we're on the puzzle, I remember thinking as soon as the Blue Collar tribe chose 10 and they were like trying to come from behind, that all they had to do was look over and just cheat, right? Mm-hmm. Which it didn't look like they did do in the edit, but Gordon Holmes said in his notes or his article that they absolutely cheated,
right?
Like 100%.
Yeah, but that's not cheating. It's not against the rules.
No. Sorry. I'm using that term very loosely.
They copied.
It's no surprise then that they came from behind at all,
right?
And the 50 piece puzzle looked freaking hard to me. There's like no way to know what pieces go next to what. It's just all runs together.
I'm pretty good at puzzles, like, but yeah, it was just letters. I'm pretty good at like that kind of puzzle is what I mean, like the kind that's just flat and you put together like when you were a child.
Yeah, like a jigsaw puzzle, right?
Yeah, okay, that's what I believe they're called. I could actually, it's not that big of a talent, but that I feel confident in. But when it's a picture, But when it's just these letters and they're that small of pieces, yeah, that would take a while.
It looked,
but did they get to look at the puzzles before they chose, though?
I don't think so. I think they just went off Jeff's description, saying they all, on average, take about the same amount of time.
He described the 50-piece puzzle as the easiest.
He said it's the easiest, but because there's so many pieces, that's why it takes the same time as the others.
Mm-hmm.
But
it may not have been the easiest, is what I'm saying.
I honestly don't think it was, and I especially don't think it was for a tribe full of people who like are really smart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give yourself the opportunity to take advantage of your strengths. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I guess their idea was like, if they get there in time, you know, and they don't need to, that it's like the lowest risk.
It is the lowest risk. And that might have been why they took it, because they were so far ahead, because so knocked out the so far ahead, because she knocked out the not so fast.
We're missing out on a whole season of so puns.
I'm happy. It's frustrating. I like puns, but not obvious ones.
So it's so frustrating.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see what I did? I'm a professional comedy writer.
I know you are, man. You're killing
professional.
It.
Professional. You hear that one?
Professional. Speaking of the knots, I wanted to say that I think that the way that the tribes handled the locks and knots, to me, shows us, it's a great example of how savvy these players are in terms of like just basic game theory. Because they all did what I would do, which is start with the one where you actually have a chance to get lucky with the locks. Because you can't get lucky on the knots. They are what they are. But with the locks, you could just luck out and get the right key first try. Start with those. Mm-hmm. If you don't get lucky in a certain amount of time, give up and do the obvious knots, right?
Now, do you think that's that they had thought it through to that degree?
I don't know. I'd like to think so, but I think that some of them just panicked and switched when other tribes were switching.
That's the impression I got.
Yeah, but
I don't remember who switched first.
I don't know who switched first either. I wish I did. Well, I should have looked at that if I'm going to present this argument.
Yeah, maybe do a little more research.
They might have backed into your wild theories. They might have backed into what I consider the best strategy, but like to me, it's like you do the high variance one first for a short amount of time, and then you do the low variance one until it's done.
Makes perfect sense.
But I know that in the in Gordon Holmes' pregame stuff where he did the challenge and he competed against Parvati and some other journalists, I think they said that the locks were way faster than the knots.
Mm-hmm.
In their like practice rounds.
Well, it's just sort of luck of the draw.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen amazing races where, I mean, obviously it's a lot more locks and keys where they're, you know, takes them forever.
Yeah, I remember that one. I remember that amazing race.
And, you know, also, not to talk too much about the amazing race, but I haven't watched it in a while. I don't know if it's still like this, but often when they would have to choose between two tasks, there would be one that would sort of be like harder work, but you could just barrel through, like you had a real solid idea of how long it would take, versus one that, you know, was more unpredictable in terms of the amount of time it would take, but it was less hard physical work.
Yeah.
And it sort of reminded me of that, mm-hmm. you know, and I feel like the white collar's choice was they went for that harder physical work because it was more of like a guarantee.
Yeah. And they were
in
ahead.
Their minds.
It makes absolute sense. They probably said ahead of time, okay, if we're ahead of everyone, we'll take the 50-piece puzzle. Mm-hmm. If we're behind, we'll take the 5-piece. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I would have done, too.
Yeah, I mean, they do have time to think about it. You know, when I'm watching the show, there's no time. It just starts, and I haven't given any thought. I just see it unfold.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think about this the first time I watched the episode either, so.
Good. Well, but we're both.
I really like that challenge. As far as challenges go, I thought it was great. And I hope that they incorporate choices like that more into the challenges.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I don't remember a choice. Maybe there has been one, but since like Palau.
There was a choice. I even remember Palau is amazing to me. So
I have a pretty good memory for this show. And in the premiere of Palau, there was a choice about whether to take during in the middle of a challenge was like you could take supplies with you on the race or something, and you got to just choose how many, and if you won, you could keep the supplies.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
you had to decide, you know, do you just take a few and like fly through the race, or do you take a bunch?
Yeah, how greedy do you want to be? Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't remember. I think that Oolong obviously lost because they lost every immunity challenge. And I think that their problem was that they spent too long getting stuff.
Right. Yeah, I haven't seen Palau since it aired, so...
That's your first mistake.
I know. I should rewatch it. Anyways, so I don't have anything too much else to say about the challenge. Do you want to move on to the pre-tribal and tribal council?
I would love to.
Business, yeah. So my big question mark about this whole tribal and the lead up to it is Tyler. I mean, I can't get a read on the guy, and I think that's on purpose from him. On the one hand, it seems like he was the sort of swing vote floater. On the other hand, Carolyn told him she had the idol, so clearly there's some trust there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, it's funny that you even say that, because in my notes that I emailed myself, mm-hmm. the last one is just says, Tyler, what's up with that guy?
Yeah, exactly.
That's my note about Tyler.
Because normally they would get a confessional from someone like Tyler saying, I could go either way. I need to decide who I'm going to vote with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And make it really clear.
I mean, he did have a confessional where he said something like that made it seem like he might want to vote her out because now that...
Because she has the idol.
Idol?
Yeah. And I think he tried to bait the idol out. There was a moment where he was talking so up and saying, like, she did a great job with the knots. But then, and it looked like he was trying to be like, yep, I'm not voting for you. I'm not voting for you to stay, Carolyn. You better play that idol. And then it also looked like he was visibly disappointed when she didn't.
Well, that's interesting. I hadn't picked up on that. I thought he was being like diplomatic and political, yeah, and like throwing off the track that he was going to vote so out by talking her
yeah
up.
I mean,
so yeah, you know, but also, you know, the other thing I gleaned from some of the like exit interview type stuff was that people seem to think that Tyler was telling people he didn't want to know about any idols or he didn't want to look for idols.
He wasn't.
That it's just a team thing that it was, yeah, wasn't. He's one of those people who was saying like, it's not time yet for strategy.
Right.
So I don't know if he meant that or if that's part of his strategy, because he certainly tries to portray himself as a strategic guy.
And I think based on his confessional right before the council, he probably is a strategic guy. The thing about Tyler is there's an easy way to watch the episode and go, Tyler is a genius. He is going to be great at the game. And there's a way to watch the episode and go, Tyler is nobody. He's a number, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that I think is my biggest question mark going forward is Tyler going to be good or not? And
well, what's the argument for him being a genius?
Well, this whole like trying to bait the idol out, and then they showed when Jeff was like, does anyone have any idols? He like stared daggers at Joaquin for some reason, like because he didn't want anyone to know that he knew Carolyn had the idol, I think. So I think he was playing on a level that was higher than one or zero. You know, I think that's what I got they wanted us to know from the edit. I could totally be wrong. He might just be this guy who was like trying to do a Garrett and be like, let's all decide who we're going to vote for together and know, you know?
Yeah. Well, I didn't get a good read either way. And so, you know, he might be our winner. I don't know.
That's the crazy thing.
Or he might just be, you know, inconsequential. I'm not, you know, who knows? So the bottom line is we have nothing much to say about him because we don't really know what is going on with him yet.
So I thought Max and Shireen were just awesome at Tribal. The super fan factor was off the charts with the Tarzan quote. And then Max going, I got exactly what I wanted, a wicked downpour and lots of drama. So good.
That was a great quote. And yeah. You know what I knew? I'm glad you said that because I forgot. I was like, who is she quoting again? I knew it was a survivor who she was quoting when she said the game is afoot.
Yeah.
But I didn't remember who it was. And now that you're reminding me, it was Tarzan. It's pretty funny.
It makes Max's response, a wise man once said, just even more funny, you know?
Yeah.
Because if it was Tarzan. Like Earl who said it or something, you'd be like, yeah, he was wise, but it was Tarzan.
Right. I could tell that Max recognized the quote. I was like, who? Tarzan?
Yeah.
Can we just stop for just one moment and remember the fact that there was a character, a player on the show, theoretically named Tarzan?
Even though
that was not his real name, everybody, including the show, referred to him as Tarzan.
The most insane thing to me about that season is that there was a guy who called himself Tarzan, but then there was a guy who called himself Troyzan.
There were two Tarzans. I guess I was going to say, why not, you know, spread them out? But I guess if you're going to do it, you may have
to do them in the same season or one of them doesn't get to do it at all.
The moment that they both like looked around and realized they were not the only Tarzan person on the island.
It makes me want to come up with a stupid name for everyone to call me if I ever get on the show, which I won't. But
maybe that's your angle for your. Yeah. You know, if you make it to an interview, or if you make a video, you can be like, my name's Ryan, but everybody calls me, you know, Jungle Cat or whatever the hell.
Yeah. If you're listening and you got this far, tweet at Ryan Elder Music ideas for what I should call myself.
I'm going to tweet you from at Scott Chernoff. I'm going to tweet you some ideas along the lines of Tarzan.
Yes. Along the lines of Tarzan would be nice. You know, maybe other Disney characters that were, acquired.
Well, and Tarzan predates.
Public domain characters.
We don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, so maybe Hunchback.
Call me Hunchback. I like it.
You Hunchback.
Yeah.
Call me Hunchback. Why? He doesn't even have a hunch.
The beast.
You're as much of a hunchback as Dr. Greg Smith was Tarzan. I believe his name was Greg Smith.
Exactly.
And it was something like that. And there was nothing Tarzan-like about it.
Well, didn't he pound his chest and ululate at one point?
Okay. Well, that's like, you're doing a bit based on the name.
Chicken and the egg at that point.
Yeah. I think, I don't even have the chicken and the egg question there. I think that's not organic.
Agreed. Anyways, back to this tribal council where
Hunchback, please.
I thought Carolyn, for all the great stuff she did leading up to the tribal council and the read she got on So and Joaquin, which, by the way, if anyone tells you, I know who I'm voting for, but I'm not telling you who it is.
I know.
It's freaking you, right?
He was such an idiot. Yeah. I mean, he has clearly no idea what game he's playing. He doesn't know the show. Their lies were so terrible. But I know who I'm voting for. Who?
Yeah.
I don't really want to say.
Yeah, I'm keeping it to myself at this point. Yeah, right.
That worked in Borneo, okay?
Yeah. She got
because
the read.
It was real.
Yeah, right. She got that read, which was like, you know, any super fan should, but still credit where credit's due. She found the idol. Amazing. She was super savvy, but then we get to tribal and she blows up, which I peg as her big weakness. And the reason why she's a great goat, in my opinion.
What caused her to blow up and in what way
when
did she
so,
blow up?
When So was like, well, the four of us are going to stick together.
Oh.
And she's like, what do you mean the four of you? Who's that? You know? And then she got really aggressive towards So.
Probably unnecessarily.
In a way that like, if I am in an alliance with her, I'm like, keep going, keep going. Do this to everyone, especially when we make the merge. Do it to all the jury members.
You want to be Chris to her Twyla.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I just see Max and Shireen both going, oh my God, yes, this is great. She loves me and she's a perfect goat. Like,
mm-hmm.
But the thing that makes her a wild card in that sense is that she is game savvy. And if she gets to the end and is eloquent enough to make a good argument for why she deserves it, she could go. She's not going to be a Twyla in that sense.
We've certainly had winners who have picked fights with people.
That's true. That's true.
Recently as last season.
Exactly. But she never really fought with people on their way out the door like Carolyn just did with So.
But So's not going to the jury.
I agree. So can she rein it in is really my question.
And look, how many people did Tony have pick major fights with who were on the jury?
That's true. Yeah. Although, again, he didn't do it on their way out the door. I think there's a big difference there. This distinction needs to be made.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Well, I still would sort of, I'd be surprised to see her win, but she could make it far. I mean, that would be an interesting final three with
Shireen and Max. Be a final three. If that's the final three, I'll be so shocked.
You know, something happens to people out there. And I'll eat a get really bonded with people. And like, it is possible that they find themselves in circumstances where they go, you know what? It's going to be worse for me if I'm cut them loose and they're upset and I'm viewed as disloyal, and at least I can argue that I stayed with my alliance. I cut everybody's throat but theirs, blah blah blah. I mean, that happens all the time.
I agree, it could happen.
I was gonna say something very controversial, because this gentleman I have a lot of respect for, and he's huge in the Survivor podcast world, and I'm nothing in the Survivor podcast world or in the world of Survivor, and he's an amazing player. But Stephen Fishback always says he was going to cut JT if he got the opportunity.
Does he say that? I thought he just hasn't committed one way or the other, but maybe he has.
I thought,
committed.
Okay, maybe I'm totally wrong then. That was just probably.
I think he should.
I thought he said his hope was to be able to do that. And he never got the opportunity.
Right.
But I wonder, just because of the bond they had, this is not a diss on him. Like,
would he have really
cut his throat? I mean, would he have done it? I don't know. They were so bonded.
Yep.
And would he be worried that if he did that, everybody would see him as a villain who cut the person everybody loved?
Yep.
Would he maybe just go, maybe somebody else will cut JT? You know,
the problem is, with that logic, and he didn't get the opportunity, and will never really. I mean, unless he has said it in public what he was planning on doing. I don't think he has, but he might have. If I were him, I know that just purely logically, he has to cut JT, because he can't.
Absolutely.
He cannot beat JT. Period.
Absolutely.
End of story.
But my point is that it's one thing to know that here now,
yes.
But when you're out there and you're bonded to the people and you haven't eaten also, and
I agree. And it clearly
you
he cared about
really,
that bond. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a real bond. So was,
I mean, look how flustered he got when people were asking him, were you going to cut JT? And he was like, I don't know. And then JT faked those crocodile tears. Like, oh my God, dude, how could you do this to me? And then Steven, like that in that moment, he really lost because of that.
Yeah,
because he let his emotions get a hold of him pretty bad there, I think. Unfortunately for him, he never got to make the true decision.
That's not why he lost. I don't think anybody could have won against JT.
That's true. That's true.
That
I think it flustered him, and he couldn't make the argument that he was capable of making for why he should deserve to win.
Right. And we watching the show, I should say, like everybody watching believed, including myself, believed strongly that he deserved to win at that time. But apparently what we didn't realize was that the rest of the tribe didn't know that.
Yeah. And I don't think he was able.
He was so subtle that it didn't, you know.
And that I think that's the problem. That's definitely a risk that you run being the brains. Like, for example, if someone like Jen and Joe team up, right? And Joe becomes this like JT-esque, everybody loves him. He's the, you know, the golden child, but Jen is the real brains behind the operation. She might have a hard time at Final Tribal saying I was the brains. Although I do think Joe is pretty game savvy, so I want to give him credit there. He's not JT in that sense.
Right. Well, it's my basic point, which I went off on quite a tangent about, was that the idea that if Max and Shireen, like, you know, just because they're so savvy, Max and Shireen, doesn't necessarily mean they won't end up.
They might.
Staying loyal. Might. Look at Todd and Amanda and, you know, Courtney. Yep. Nothing was going to break that trio up.
Right. It would be nice. It would be great to see. I would love that final three. And I'd be happy if any of them won based on just this one episode. you know, but we'll see. I mean, I'm so excited about so many of these players. I can't recall a season where I've watched the first episode and gone, yeah, there's 6-7 people, almost half the people that are playing, I would be happy to see win at this point.
Right. It's been a while, at least.
Yeah. I honestly, I'm usually there's like 2 or 3 people. And then I either don't care or I actually thank you dislike.
And thank you for being honest.
Always.
It's refreshing in this day and age to work with somebody who's willing to open themselves up like that.
Yeah. I didn't want to choose the deceive bag because... I just think it's way too early in our podcast's run for me to start deceiving people.
Now, can I ask you this? Now, this portends to next week where you predict the White Collars will lose again. What do you make? There's always imagery. You know, I'm a writer. I'm into the storytelling aspect of Survivor quite a bit. Sure. That is basically storytelling or writing via the editing often. And the birds that are eating the pig carcass... They linger on this image when after the White Collar loses the challenge and they're coming back to their camp, we see this image of a dead pig and the birds are like feasting. And my question is, do you believe that's imagery? That imagery is supposed to be symbolic of simply what's happening in that moment. Yes. That right now, you know, they're going to have to sacrifice somebody or they're going to start tearing away at each other, whatever. Or is that symbolic for their tribe going forward?
I think it's a great image. You want to make the first episode impactful. I think you just
put that imagery is on every episode. You know, there's always certain animals that are highlighted.
That particular image is pretty graphic, if I remember it right.
Yeah, but I feel like when there's a doomed tribe, there's often that type of image of animal
imagery.
I can
see it. I mean, they do seem like
coming back.
What a travesty, you know? Man. If,
like, sometimes there's always like, you know, beautiful birds soaring when you see a certain tribe, and other times there's like bigger animals eating smaller animals and like death and destruction. And it's always like associated with a certain tribe.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see it. Like I said, I think they're going to lose. Honestly, I don't see them winning any. So, yeah, it could end up being like the Brains Brawn Beauty where they maybe win one before they merge into two tribes. But I hope they at least win one because I'd like to see 4 of them go. I don't want to see Carolyn, Shireen, Max, or Tyler go. I don't care about Joaquin.
Joaquin is...
The problem
he's
is
already gone.
They'll keep him around though because he's physically way better than any of the rest.
Will
of them.
They? Did For Brains least, keep Garrett around?
Yeah, no, you're right. They don't. They probably
in your
don't
face.
Value, they probably don't value that. You're right. We'll
in your
see.
Face, Ryan.
We'll see. Yeah.
Well, so was voted out, and I mean. I guess other than the stuff we talked about, that's tribal.
That's tribal. Yep. Like a hastily eaten scorpion. So was purged from the show.
Oh my God. Yeah. Can we talk about that a little bit?
The scorpion. Sure.
Well, not just that he ate the scorpion. Who was that? Mike?
Yeah. Mike.
Yeah. I mean, I liked his attitude that he was, you know, took it all in stride and everything, but the guy was so that is symbolic of how overeager and not thought out he is.
Yeah.
You know, he is not looking before he leaps.
Yeah, which is going to make great TV. He probably can't win based on that personality. But there's something to be said for the guy. And this kind of reminds me, and this is quite a stretch, but in the sense of like Ian on Big Brother, which I don't want to get too much into, but he was, if you haven't seen it, he was a super fan, a tiny little nerdy kid. Loved him. Probably one of my favorite Big Brother players of all time. But he was so excited to be on Big Brother that he was willing to do all of the crap that nobody actually wants to do on Big Brother.
But he, and I saw that, he wanted to do the stuff that was part of the show.
Well, I mean, isn't nobody eating a scorpion sort of part of
that's
the...
That's never been a part of the show.
No, okay.
Picking up a live scorpion and biting its... Yeah. That's been part of the Ozzy Osbourne concert, you know, live show. That's the show it's a part
eating
of.
Eating bugs is part of the That'd show, like, man. I can There's see always his... like a challenge where they have to eat weird stuff.
Yeah, the challenge. So Ian on Big Brother, the corollary would be he would embrace a gross food
He's
challenge.
He's eating slop, yeah.
He would do all of the things that the show normally dishes out. But this Mike character, what's his name?
I think we disagree. It was Mike. I like Mike? That of his character, and I think that it's potentially something that shows that he could be someone who goes far based on that attitude.
I found him very likable, and I liked his attitude. I just question his judgment.
Well, okay, sure. I mean, I think we can agree on that. I would never eat a poisonous animal.
Yeah, it's really not a good idea. Speaking of, I mean, we apparently need to tell people that. Yeah. Speaking of bad judgment, I just want to circle back real quick to Dan because we really neglected something.
Okay, yeah.
And that's his underwear.
Oh, yes. Not since Philip Shepherd.
It's even worse than Philip
It's
Shepherd.
Way worse than Philip
Shepherd. It somehow manages to be worse than Philip Shepherd because at least, I mean, Philip's were horrible and not something you wanted to see. But this is, they were called tighty whities, but apparently they're not very tight because, what does Dan have, like a Speedo on or something?
Yeah, it's definitely, I don't know. What are those called? They're bikini briefs, I think.
They're like Spanx. Bikini Spanx.
They were quite small.
Why? Why?
Very, That's very another... surprising. Dan, yeah.
You know, he said, I'm going to be remembered. Is that's what he's taken out of watching Survivor is like the people he's – does he know like, well, I'll never be as good as the great players, so I'll be remembered the way Philip Shepherd's remembered? I mean, is that – because he just wants to be remembered. It doesn't seem to matter why he's remembered.
Well, I don't think there's any way that Dan could not be remembered at this point. He would be remembered just from this one episode.
Yeah, you cannot unsee that. But also, I found it interesting, just I don't want to harp too much on the editing, but the scene that we talked about earlier when he was calling people they're playing stupid about the shelter, then you remember there was a part where like all the other like younger people on the tribe seemed to be really disrespectful to him, like they were like laughing and joking amongst each other and throwing things while he was talking.
Yeah.
That's I don't think it really happened. I don't. And they called him. Yeah.
Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Or Harry Potter's grandpa. That's what it
right,
was.
Which one of them realized the other one meant Dumbledore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's like, they speak each other's language of stupid, but I don't think it happened that way.
You don't think so?
No, I thought it's possible that they edited it to make it look even worse for Dan because you never see him in the shot when they're doing that.
That's true.
I think that they took footage of these people goofing around and having fun together and put it in as cutaway shots while Dan was talking.
Yeah, they could.
I don't know what the purpose of making him look more pathetic or more maybe trying to build sympathy, an underdog story perhaps. Like, I don't know, but that raised a red flag. I mean, I do believe that Survivor is basically real and like what we're seeing is the essence of what happened, but in editing it down.
Yeah, sure, timing is maybe different. Well,
the timing is different. I mean, they use footage from days out of order sometimes. And, you know, we're not seeing anything that's really not true, but they have the advantage of knowing how the show turns out and can edit it toward that story. So they definitely take out, you know, opportunities, we'll put it that way. Having worked in showbiz, as we call it, and been very involved in the world of editing as well.
Yeah.
it struck me as very possible that was a deliberate choice. It's really stood out to me that they were being really mean and rude to him unnecessarily.
Yeah, it seemed like he was right off camera.
Yeah, it seemed that way, but he never really reacted to it. They didn't show him in the shot looking sad.
He definitely would have reacted. He would have done like a Dumbledore impression or something, knowing Dan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he would have jumped on, he would have jumped in on that for sure. But anyways.
So anyway.
Yeah, I don't want
to. Let's get off of Dan.
Yeah, you know. Well, because we might get right back onto him here when we start in on our, what's going to be. We're going to have three regular segments, at least for now, on this podcast. And I'll just break them down real quick before we get into them at this point.
Want to tell what they all are? You just want to do one?
Well, let's just do them. Let's just do them. Let's get into our first segment, which we call Hold Up, Bro.
Hold up, bro.
And in this segment, we talk about who maybe surprised us this.
Interesting choice for the soundboard. It's not the actual quote.
No, it's in there. You want to hear it again?
I believe it. Are you? No, you do. You do whatever you've had planned. I trust you. I should not pull back the curtain. I apologize.
Eagle-eared listeners will find it. The problem with that quote is that he mumbles it and it's barely understandable, but it's such a good moment that we had to reference it.
I should always assume that there's a good reason for what you're doing, and I will not question you going forward.
In this segment, we're going to talk about who surprised us, good or bad.
Right.
What did that person
do? The way I thought when we thought about it was, it was that it was like sort of the rewind moment, like. What just happened?
Okay, sure.
So it might not be a person.
That's kind of the same to me.
I'm willing to go with a person, but.
Or a moment,
I was
whatever.
Thinking of
yeah,
it
yeah.
in terms of like the moment where I was like, what just happened?
Sure.
Hold up, bro.
That's what I mean. Yeah. But there's going to be a person involved in that, unless you want to talk about the shot of
The pig. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I did rewind that. but it was not my choice. Well, let's hear your choice for.
Well, my choice was. Dan's fight with the ladies, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, this guy, this I don't want to harp on it because we've talked about it enough, but this guy who's a self-professed super fan, just breaking all of the most obvious level zero rules about playing Survivor. And you put it best, like getting emotionally involved in making the shelter. It was so surprising to me.
Yes.
That I just did not expect him of all people to be like that. I expected Rodney or Joaquin to be like that, you know?
Right.
The obvious recruits that are like, have a lot of invested in their own opinions. But what made you?
Well, I think that's an excellent choice because, and again, we were thinking of it differently. So if I was going to tell a person, Hey, hold up, bro.
Yeah.
That's a good choice. Mine was probably fairly obvious, and it was the hug. I mean,
the hug.
I had to, like,
get this all up in my face.
Poor Jen. And her point about imagine how smelly they'll be.
Yeah.
You know, in 2 weeks, much less on day two or whatever that was. Yeah. But yeah, that hug, and I did rewind it. I'll
say,
my
Vince.
Wife had gone to the restroom, and I was like, honey, come back. You need to see this.
And I mean, there's better than 50% odds that Vince went to the island already smelly.
Yes.
You know what I mean? On day zero, hugging him was probably a dicey proposition.
To be fair, you build up a lot of sweat vending coconuts.
That's true. You're out in the hot sun all day.
I think coconut vendor is my favorite occupation on the show since ice cream scooper.
Yeah, man.
Although barrel racer is pretty good too. But
coconut vendor is so out there, man. And it's like a pirate themed coconut vendor.
What do you think his take would be on the coconut bandits?
I mean, it's definitely something to consider going forward.
I mean, that would be a whole season, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure
forget about Rob versus Russell.
Yes, it's Tyson versus Vince.
Tyson versus Vince on the whole issue of coconuts.
I like it. I want to see it. I would love to see that. I just want to see more Vince mostly. And of course, I'm always up for more Tyson.
We're talking big time.
Jesus, you have Tyson ready?
Oh yeah,
at the ready.
Yeah, Tyson's one of my faves.
I know. See, we just you it. And Token Jeans is your favorite season.
I love Token Jeans. It's not my favorite love season, but
from Token Jeans,
yeah, it's definitely up there. There aren't many people I don't like on Token Jeans, that's for sure. But really? Anyways, yeah, the hug. I'm
trying
man.
To think of you're a big Debbie fan,
right? Yeah, yeah, the hug.
So the hug. I don't have much to add.
It was a rewindable moment for sure.
I mean, in what universe is that a good idea, whether or not you're on Survivor?
Right. Yeah. It's, I mean, the whole like instant obsession with Jen is like, he's going to be a train wreck and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, now that you mention, it's a little bit Brandon Michaela. It has the potential to go he's that like direction. If Jen like turns out to not be the person he's decided she is,
yep,
then he's gonna be really mad at her.
Can't wait. Yeah.
So that was fine.
Hopefully it isn't a Brandon situation. Hopefully I still get to like him when it's all said and done. But
yes. Well.
Yep. All right. Let's move on to our next segment, which is called Ill Regrets.
What's the time?
It's time to get ill.
What's the time?
It's time to get
ill regrets.
And I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, nice. This segment.
That was beautiful.
This segment is about who has the most ill regrets besides So. Can we make a rule that it can't be the person who was voted out?
Yeah, I agree.
Because that's boring.
In fact, I put that in my notes, but So is too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we should share with the audience that I think first we came up with the name Ill Regrets, and we're like, well, let's have a segment called Ill Regrets and then decide. That's how
these are definitely top-down designed.
I think it's a good category. What is, it's like something that they will regret later. Yep. Who did something that they're going to regret?
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow.
Right.
But eventually and for the rest of their lives, they'll regret it. Because you know when you play Survivor, you go home and you're like, you just wake up in a fever dreams about all of the horrible mistakes you made if you didn't win.
It stays with them for a long time.
Yeah. And it would for me. I mean,
absolutely. No,
I still remember mistakes I made in a Magic the Gathering game 10 years ago. So... I know
if those are if those are the mistakes that haunt you, then you're a lucky man.
Oh, I mean, they're,
can I just put it that way?
They're not high up on the list, let's be honest. But no,
I was my mind were, but you know, I was gonna say like, yeah, I'm still bothered, but you know, haunted by that hobo I murdered. I mean, but Magic the Gathering. Yeah, no,
I swear it was an accident though. All right, so yeah,
ill regrets.
Yeah,
ill regrets?
Why don't you start this one?
Well, I was really torn between two people.
Okay.
And one of them we've discussed at length, and that's Dan.
Yeah.
Because I just think he's done so much that's regrettable.
I just don't think he's going to regret it, though.
You don't think so? Because he's going to be remembered, and that's his goal?
I just don't think he thinks like that. Do you know what
or
I mean?
Or thinks at all. From what we see.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know if there's any thought going on in this process. So that said, we've talked about it a lot. He does have a lot he should regret, whether or not he does. But I think my choice is Joaquin.
Yeah.
It's pretty close to So. I mean, I know So is, like I said, too easy. But Joaquin, again, doesn't really know what he's done, doesn't know that he should regret it, but stepping up to be the leader, first of all, and then, of course, like just immediately assuming that they should choose to Steve, and he said, you know, I'm going to take any advantage I can get. And that just shows me, well, you don't really know what you're talking about because you don't know that this is not an advantage. Yeah.
I made this case earlier and I'm going to make it again. I believe he had ill regrets on the walk back to camp. Mm-hmm. I believe he figured out very quickly that he made a mistake or they made a mistake together.
Well, because he was like, I don't really think we've come up with a good lie.
He said that and then he let her do all the talking. He was quiet, man. And he played it exactly how he needed to play it after making that mistake. He couldn't have covered his own butt any better than he did based on the horrible mistake he made.
But maybe, as I've been saying, maybe he didn't really think it through that strategically, but maybe he really did because he had some ill regrets and realized that this was a bad lie and maybe he was making a mistake. Maybe he clammed up just out of a sheer panic.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's definitely possible. I think we'll find out.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick sort of an unconventional choice of who I think is going to. And I think that they're not going to regret it for a while. But I think Carolyn is going to regret showing or telling Tyler that she has the idol. I think that's going to be a real problem for her, that alliance of three, Max, Shireen, and Carolyn, for Tyler to know that she has the idol. And it could end up being a problem for them soon, but I'm not sure. Because it's just such good ammunition for him to go to Max and Shireen and be like, hey, has she told you about her idol yet?
That's a good point. I had not thought of that. Very smart. I did know in the moment of watching it, I said, oh, do you really want to tell him you have the idol?
I was really
surprised.
Or
do you just want to say, like, I'm pretty sure they don't have it, and here's why. Like, they keep looking for it.
Yes.
I don't think they're smart enough to really fake that. You know, I just get the sense they don't have it. Like, whatever you want to do. Yeah. But I did wonder about that, but then I'm not 100% certain, like, did she need, she obviously felt like she needed to do that. And
yeah,
we don't,
I don't know that she did necessarily. She might have just let pride get the better of her. And she wanted to tell someone, hey, I found an idol without the clue by watching So and Joaquin. Cause it was pretty cool. I'd be proud of it. But she also might have a tighter relationship with Tyler than we know. It might be that Tyler is this guy who's like everybody trusts because he seems to not be playing the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I do. I think it's very possible she'll regret it. One thing about telling people that you have the idol is, I think you got it. You should tell someone, but you got to tell someone that you trust to build even more trust. That's how I would personally handle idols, but.
Well, I think you make some very strong points.
Who knows? All right. And our last segment is called Getting Loud.
We only like it if it's loud. We only like it if it's loud.
I can get loud too. What the f***? Hello
to me. And this is
that was intense.
The part of the show where we pick who got loud. Who impressed us the most? Who stood out? Who played the best game? Who's doing great, you know?
Yeah. Who is?
I mean,
count me.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the sort of obvious, like, winner of the episode was Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, I want to go with a more subtle choice, and I really think that Tyler, and I know that it's hard to get a read on him, and there's a lot of question marks, but there's something to be said for being the guy who gets told about an idol from someone that it seems like you don't have an alliance with.
Right.
And so he's got to be doing something right.
You know, you make a good point because Todd Herzog in China, people would just come up to him and tell him things.
Yeah. And there's a couple,
From day one.
Yeah. There's both Max and Tyler remind me a little bit of Todd Herzog. But
Max too.
Yeah. Because they're both super fans that are game savvy and like seem to be playing similar games to him. I don't know. But I see that connection for sure. And I can't wait to see more from Tyler. Him being on some other level from everyone else, it seems like, is really interesting to me. And I think he's on a winning level. We'll find out. He could be the odd man out if they want to keep Joaquin around for strength reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And though three are tighter than they seem, which they actually seem pretty tight. So who knows?
Right. That is that could be his biggest stumbling block. Yeah. But I think Joaquin would go before him.
Yeah.
I don't think that group is going to like or trust Joaquin.
Yeah.
And I think that because they are savvy, they know that, you know, it's really not that important to keep the strongest people on the tribe.
Yeah.
It's just not, I think, in the long run. It's important in the short run, but if you're confident in your alliance and you feel like you can survive a few votes and there's people identified targets, which Joaquin would be one, and he'd be number one. You know, Denise won from the losing tribe. I mean, it happens often that
especially when
one
it's
or
three,
two people from the losing tribe make it to, if they don't win, they make it far enough to potentially win.
Yeah. When it's a three tribe thing, if your tribe gets decimated and you're one of the last few remaining, you get to be a swing vote at the merge.
You know? Yeah, look at in All Stars, two members of Saboga, they didn't win, but they made it to third and fourth place.
Right.
Same with Cagayan.
Exactly.
I'm always trying to pronounce correctly. Third and fourth place for the losing tribe.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then of course Denise, so and Malcolm getting to fourth. So that is to say that they know that. Max and Sheeran, at the very least, know that the most important thing is going to be loyalty, and that's going to be, and that's where what you mentioned about Carolyn having possibly made a mistake comes into play, because she might be a little torn between two alliances. But I don't know. For me, I think that's a great choice. He didn't stand out as much to me, Tyler, but I think you might have a.
For me, he got loud by not getting loud.
Right, which is very legitimate.
I want to see that in the early episodes.
You know,
see people Kim's, who are not playing.
Kim Spradlin did that to me
for
whatever. I wouldn't say that either of them are not playing.
Right.
But the way that they're playing is designed to blend in, and I really do respect that as a strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, Carolyn was the obvious one who stood out, like you said.
I mean, if I'm going to give an award, if I'm printing up a plaque for this, it's going to Carolyn, no question, right?
Wait, you didn't print up the plaques?
No, I didn't.
I also thought Max stood out. You know, I like the players, like I said, who seem savvy, and Jen also. So I was really divided between Carolyn, Max, and Jen.
There was a lot of good.
You know, Max stood out not due to anything he really did, but he really did seem to be applying his understanding of the game and making, they may not be winning moves, but correct moves, if that makes any sense. And I find that really interesting to watch. But, you know, I think I might want to say that I'm giving this coveted, prestigious award to Jen because she really stood out to me as well. As somebody who was playing pretty in a pretty savvy way, except for the moment that I acknowledged where she seemed a little fake, where she couldn't really fake her enthusiasm for Vince.
Yeah, but I mean,
you know, she wasn't a masterful enough actress. Well, Parvati could. There's definitely people who could, but she couldn't do that. But I thought she was very like when she said, you know, she seemed skeptical that Joe was going to be able to build fire. But, and she said, had some comment like, I'll sit back and watch you try. But what we didn't see her sitting back and watching him try. We saw her coming up and offering to help him. And here, we'll take these coconut husks. This might help you. Even if he didn't end up using them, like I thought she played in a savvy way, like where she said about Vince, like, I'm going to try to, you know, or should I just try to be the kind of person that he wants me to be and play that role for him.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, people who are willing to do that have a leg up. People who are able to do that, you know, often win the game.
Right.
I don't have a winner prediction based on episode one this season.
Yeah, me either.
Which I love, by the way.
I think there's, like I said, six or seven people that could win easy.
Yeah, I haven't even really narrowed it down. But for me, although Carolyn made a lot of great moves and definitely stood out, so she's very worthy to get the coveted Sandra soundbite of getting loud, I'm just going to give it to Jen Partly like because we barely talked about her.
I really like Jen. I hope
she really deserved more. When I looked at my like list of people who it might be, she stood out to me. She got loud on the list because I was like, wait a minute, we haven't even talked about this person who also could win the game.
Yeah, I see her as a narrator type, which they often go fourth, fifth, third, things like that. They tend to not actually win the game, but sometimes, like Cochran, they do win the game.
Yes. Who else?
Todd was like a strategic narrator, and he won.
Yeah. Earl was a narrator.
Yep. Yep. But more often than not, you've got like the Rob C's of the world that are like the great narrators, but they don't make it. They make it far. Like Spencer was one too.
Right. But I don't think it's because the editors want to choose somebody to be the narrator and they want to throw you off. And so they choose somebody who isn't the winner. I think they just go with whoever's the best narrator that season.
Makes it a ways. It needs to be.
Yeah.
You need to have someone who makes like the top five or six to be the narrator.
I guess that's true. Yeah. So somebody who's going to go far.
Yeah.
And the odds but yeah, are I think it's mostly based on how good they are, how with the material that they're, the editors get.
I think we've got some great narrators this season. A lot of the contestants could be the narrator. So I'm really excited about this season. I'm excited to get with you we're going to try to do it every Thursday night and get it out for Friday.
Yes, we did not accomplish that this week, already know that we're not accomplishing that next week. I mean, if people have listened this long, they deserve to know that our plans are to record on Thursday nights. We both are very busy, busy gentlemen in the world of show business, and we can't be bothered with this silly podcast about Survivor. I mean, I think we'd both do it, you know, all day if we could.
Yes, but we sort of do via Facebook,
We do when we should be working on other things. But so the way our schedules are, we're going to try to record on Thursday nights and get it out on Fridays. The first 2 weeks of this season, we're not able to do Thursday nights. Next week, we'll probably have it out, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This, I promise, you will have it for your Monday morning commute.
Nice. Yes.
That is the
snakes, rats, and goats guarantee to our loyal customers.
Yes. And look, it's too early in the game to be deceitful. I have to be honest. I think that's it for this episode.
Thank you, Ryan. And thank you for listening. Those of you who do.
Tweet at us at Ryan Elder Music and at Scott Chernoff. And rate us on iTunes.
Yeah, we got a review.
I don't care if it's one or five stars. I don't care if you give us a bad review. We'll take any criticism. Want to hear it.
The review said that we showed promise.
Look, I'm not going to get
excited
about one review.
I got a huge head about it. I was like, I'm showing some promise today.
But rate us on iTunes. That's how we know who's listening. And it gets us a little higher profile in iTunes. So, you don't mind, that'd be great.
I should rate us. I'm going to do that.
All right.
Okay. Good night.
Do that. Have a good night, Scott.
Good night, Ryan.
Talk to you guys next week.
Bye-bye.